Hello, guys. Thanks for listening to this episode of DL Weekly. We did do this as a live stream, so we had to do something different with our audio recording. And of course, with anything that's complicated like that, there are lots of buttons to tick, and I accidentally ticked one too many buttons. So throughout the episode, there is a slight audio echo. We apologize. There was really not much I could do to get rid of it, but hopefully you will enjoy the conversation and everything. Anyway, enjoy this episode, and hopefully the next time we do a live stream, everything should be corrected. So thanks for bearing with us and enjoy the show. Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, 4th of July festivities, win a trip to the parks, ticket deals for annual pass holders.
Pixar Pals has opened, New Year's and food. We discuss the electrical parade and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Welcome to DL Weekly, a podcast about Walt's original Magic Kingdom, Disneyland. We cover the latest news and information from the resort, test our skills at trivia, and have a discussion about the parks every week. We invite you to send in your feedback and stories. Our contact information can be found at dlweekly.net. Now sit back, keep your hands and arms inside the podcast, and enjoy this week's show.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of July 3rd, 2019. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. We would like to send a shout out and a big thank you to all of our patrons. This support helps make DL Weekly possible. Our patrons do get some pretty nice perks like access to our Discord chat, live shows like this one, and some DL Weekly swag plus more. If you would like to learn more, head on over to dlweekly.net/support.
Well, it's Teresa's favorite time of the month again, where we get to draw names out of our patrons to get to be a guest on the show. So who are we pulling out this time?
Okay, just one name. Okay. Well, congratulations to KP. You are our next person that we're inviting to be our next patron on the show.
So if you're interested in being on the show, we'll be in contact with you and you can let us know either way.
Have you booked your trip to the resort yet? If not, you should. Contact James and Mike over at Concierge and they will take care of your entire vacation from beginning to end. And as an added bonus, you will get a free year of touring plans. Why wait? Check them out at concierge.com.
Yes, so James has actually been booking all of our dining packages this week. We're very excited for. So we've got it reserved for 10 at the Lamplight Lounge, and he got our Blue Bayou dining package for Fantasmic. And did he do the Carthay Circle for World of Color?
World of Color, yes.
So we're very excited to experience those because I've never done the dining package for World of Color.
And yeah, I haven't either.
I've have never been to the Lamplight Lounge, so that'll be even better. Well, now let's get to the news. Well, if you plan to spend your 4th of July at the parks, there's plenty to see. Mickey will be meeting with guests in Town Square from 8 to 3:30. At night, Disney's Celebrate America, a 4th of July concert in the sky, will take place at 9:30. The Sandbar at the Paradise Pier will host a family barbecue from 3 to 10 p.m., with live music starting at 6 p.m. At the Disneyland Hotel, from 12 to 4, there will be a family activities on the Magic Kingdom lawn. Downtown Disney will also have a variety of special treats at the various stores.
So many fun things to get in the spirit of the 4th of July holiday. Not just fireworks. I like that it's kind of almost resort-wide. And it's not just, oh, we're going to do a different fireworks show this night. And, you know, that's how we'll celebrate.
And it didn't say in the article, but I'm pretty sure that they do something for World of Color, like at the beginning or at the end for 4th of July as well. So basically, wherever you want to be 4th of July, there's something special added on to the regular show.
If you have been listening to the show and want to go to the parks, but it just isn't in the budget right now, you might be able to win a trip to the resort with the Pixar Pier Rootin' Tootin' Sweepstakes. The contest runs until July 10th and includes 4 days and 3 nights round-trip coach airfare, hotel accommodations, four-day park hopper tickets, a VIP tour of Disneyland, and a Disney gift card plus more. To enter, visit the link in our show notes at dealweekly.net.
I think this is really cool. Because they pay for like everything. It's not just like here's a hotel and here's whatever, but you're responsible for getting here.
I know. I was surprised to see airfare was included, but that's awesome.
It is very awesome. And of course it's good timing because it's to celebrate a year of Pixar Pier being around. So I like these kind of things. So go check out the link and see if you can win it.
And so I of course read the rules because if I could win a trip to Disneyland,
can we not
sign
win a trip?
Me up?
Can we not win for some reason?
Yeah, we can.
Well, you said you were reading the rules, and I was like...
I was reading the rules. You can So it's not just a enter once and just cross your fingers. No, no. You can enter every single day that the contest is going. So it's even more exciting. So
from now till the 10th.
Set your little like daily reminders and you just keep entering.
Did you enter today?
I did not yet.
We'll have to do that. All right. Well, one of the reasons they might be trying to offer this type of a sweepstakes is because the attendance has been lower than anticipated, and Disneyland is trying to encourage annual pass holders to bring a friend to the resort for this summer. Annual pass holders can purchase a one-day park hopper ticket for $99. The annual pass holder must accompany the guest on the first entry on the day of purchase. Are you an annual pass holder that's blocked out? Well, you too can buy a $99 ticket for yourself. This promotion is limited to 3 tickets per day and is valid through August 30th. So technically, you could buy 3 tickets every single day. That's the limitation. You just have to, you can only buy 3 per day. I do think it's nice that they offer an option if you are an annual pass holder, if you are blocked out and want to go, that you can also get this discounted rate.
So I wonder how that works, because a lot of pass holders right now are blocked out of Disneyland, but not blocked out of DCA. Mm-hmm. So if you bought your friend a ticket, they're able to park hop. So if you wanted to park hop with them, would you then also probably have to buy the $99
ticket? You probably have to buy the $99 ticket. So in some cases, I think maybe it's not that great of a deal.
Yeah, depending on what your blockouts are. But still a great deal, because you're saving, if you already had plans, like it looks like one of the patrons in our chat actually had plans to take family members in August. So now they get to get cheaper tickets because this promo is going, and it was already something they were planning. So it's like double win.
Yeah, I was really excited because I was like, oh, $99. We should find out who we know that's an annual pass holder, and they can get us ticket when we're there. And I'm like, oh, but we're doing multiple days, so it'd be more expensive to do $99 days.
Yeah. But it's such a great deal.
However, we did talk about that we were there for D23, and would it maybe almost be worth it if we like were having that withdrawal that one of our supporters or listeners that's an annual pass holder, like $100 extra just to get in that night? Probably not. Not no, just for the one night. But
that wouldn't. I need more than a couple hours. We're going to spend so much time at D23.
I don't know, but when you're there and you really could smell it.
Yeah, but Downtown Disney, I'm very excited to go like explore.
Did you see?
And find all things Downtown Disney.
Did you see in our supporter chat that one of our listeners
went
and because of our episode on Downtown Disney, and they went to Downtown Disney?
I love that so much, because honestly, I kind of felt like I was a little weird, but I don't think I'm in the minority. I think a lot of people just go and focus on the parks, and they don't, I mean, even I had never even walked through Downtown Disney at that point, but now I have. So anyways, I think, yeah, tons of stuff.
So I want to say two things. First of all, Kate in our chat is saying that she's here if we want to do that. And Barb said she's been there for a Corn Dog Jungle Cruise India, then went to the airport once. It's worth it.
Barb, that's crazy. I love it.
You know, but you got to remember, too, no, the people that are in our chat are like us. They're like the crazy Disney people.
They're hardcore. But see, this would be what happens to me. You'd be like, we could only be here for 2 hours, Therese. You'd be like, okay, well, can we go on this? Well, we're right next to that. Can't we do that, too? And, well, you know, we've already been here this long, so can't we just stay for Fantasmic? And, oh, but this and that. And, oh, look at the wait time over here. It's really, so we'd be there forever until park closed. They would be, like, escorting us out.
Yeah.
And then you're like, Teresa,
what's wrong with that?
We have the parks panel tomorrow morning at very early o'clock, and now we are still in Disneyland.
And if it was that Saturday, like you're saying, then all of our listeners are going to be over at the Tongaroa Terrace or whatever waiting for us.
Well, we wouldn't do it that Saturday, obviously.
Right. It's exciting. It's exciting. There's some great deals right now, so anybody who lives down there, it's a great time. Great time.
Well, last Friday, Pixar Pier was finally completed with the opening of the Inside Out Emotional Whirlwind. The repurposed Flicks Flyers from A Bug's Land has returned in a stunning fashion. The theming and atmosphere of the new attraction is amazing and more encompassing than the old attraction. It's so nice to have something in this area of the park that has been vacant since the Malibu Boomer left years ago. The other thing that I want to point out that's super nice about this attraction is it's super, very, very kid-friendly. So if you have older kids or some adults that want to go ride the Incredicoaster, this is a great option for them to take the little ones while you're waiting for the rest of your group to finish their journey on the Incredicoaster. You can go check out the Emotional Whirlwind.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a great point. I like the fact that because Bugs Land left, there is kind of there's less child-friendly attractions in California Adventure. So it's very nice that they added this. I do want to point out that Kate took her daughter on it, and she had a good time. The first time she had some height problems, but The second time, I think she really enjoyed it. So I'm glad that Kate was able to report that to us, because it's, you know, because we don't get a lot of like kid perspective on things.
Right. Yes.
So it's nice to have a little bit of that. So also, Sarah in our chat says that we are team no sleep when we're in Disneyland. There for Magic Morning until the park closes. I am totally with her on that one. Well, June 20th will be a day long remembered for me, as the Pixar Palace parking structure finally opened to the public for parking. The new structure allows for more than 5,000 new parking spaces for guests, with a new electronic parking system and an additional entrance on Magic Way. Yes, Teresa?
So how many, since you couldn't be there for the grand reveal and opening yourself, how many videos did you watch on
Sunday? I only watched one.
Did you watch any, were there any live streams?
No, but I watched.
How many photos did you look at?
I didn't look at that many photos.
He's been so excited about so excited.
I watched one video, and it had everything I wanted of it. So I watched
all you
Fresh Baked, because he had the video rolling in his car, and he showed how, from the highway, how to get to the entrance of the parking garage.
Oh, very helpful.
Went in, all of the cast members, because nobody knew it was open, were standing around bored. Like, I think they told him he was like the 12th car that day.
Oh, sure.
Then I felt like
so much parking.
But then I felt like he drove for like a billion years, because as with the Disney does, you get up, so you go out, and then you go up to the other end of the garage, and then you drive all the way to the other end and all the way around the perimeter, and you're parking on the first thing.
Very good area.
So then he parked.
Very good footage.
He showed the elevators. There's three of them, as opposed to Mickey and Friends, where there's just the one. So there's three different shafts, which is great. He went and showed the pedestrian area where the escalators go down and how it feels open and airy and nice. He went down and shot video of just the whole area. He showed some footage of the pedestrian bridge that's not going to be ready till mid-September. And then he rode the tram, which one thing that's messing with me, and people who have been to Disneyland recently already know this, but it's they've reversed the tram route. So you used to go out and go on the side of the tram route that now comes in, basically. So it's weird to me because it seems backwards. But they went through and they did all that, which was nice. And then he showed exiting and how that exits. So everybody exits through Mickey and Friends, which I thought was interesting.
Very, very interesting. So I just have to share this because I almost interrupted Tag by laughing out loud. One of our supporters that's watching our live stream right now, Barb just said, someone should pick them up from their hotel and park in the garage so they can have the whole experience one morning. Tag would probably be okay with driving down there just for us to be able to drive.
I wonder if I could pay an Uber driver.
Excuse me, Mr. Uber.
Can you just take us into the thing?
Driver.
Well, because you know
this is a very long way to go there. Because
you know
how we want to go in.
You know what they do? Because this happened to us once. So we went to park in Mickey and Friends, and I think we forgot. I forgot my wallet in the hotel room, or I forgot my annual pass or something.
Sure.
So what they do is they stick there's a yellow card or something that they stick in your windshield wiper.
Okay.
And basically they direct you out. So you get past the ticket booth, because it's only the one way. There's no way to turn around.
Right.
And they basically, cast members look for that. And when you come up and you've got the yellow card, they turn and point you to the exit.
Turn.
We could ride the thing over there, have the Uber driver drop us off, and then we could go to the thing.
Well, that poor Uber driver. We better give him a very nice
He's getting paid
tip.
To go around the block. It's not that bad. But anyway, Pixar Pals now open. We probably won't talk about it anymore until the first time it fills
excited.
Up.
And Tag is very
excited. The tram loading area is very nice, too, and we talked about that last week. So,
well, one of my obsessions is coming up next. A very popular new set of ears has hit the park, and it immediately sold out. The new mermaid ears have purple shell for the ears and a very pretty aqua-colored sequin bow. It's very sparkly. Just days after they hit the shelves, the Disney food blogger reported on Twitter that they were sold out all over the resort. I'm not surprised.
These
ears are,
nice.
Are beautiful. They're just gorgeous. They are Little Mermaid themed, yes, but I think they're done in a very unique way. It's not just your classic ear. It's a little bit different spin on it. So I like it.
I also like these. I just like how iridescent they are. They're very glowy.
They're gorgeous.
Yeah, so I'm actually excited for these two. I don't necessarily want them. I do want to see them. I still am in for the potion purple. I wonder what the next, character kind of thing that they're going to do that people are going to like?
I'm curious because, so The Little Mermaid is celebrating its 30th anniversary this year. So I wonder if they're going to maybe go on, you know, like next year, this movie is celebrating this anniversary. Sure. You know, if they're going to kind of, if they're trying to trickle these out, in, if there's a method to the madness, I guess.
Well,
I think there is. Because we saw the Aladdin ears.
You want to put something into perspective?
The live Aladdin came out.
Do you want to put something into perspective?
Mm-hmm.
The Haunted Mansion was 20 years old when Little Mermaid came out.
Wow.
I feel really old now, actually.
Why does that make you feel old? You weren't alive.
Because I was alive in 1989, and I remember 1989, and that was 30 years ago.
Yep.
Well, the Happy Haunts have joined Honest Abe in the Opera House on Main Street this week to celebrate 50 years of the Haunted Mansion. The new exhibit in the Disney Gallery features art from the creation of the iconic attraction that celebrates its 50th anniversary on August 9th this year. It opened on August 9th, 1969.
Oh, I have my fingers and my toes and anything else I could cross. Legs, I don't know. Anything, everything is crossed. I really, really hope that this exhibit is still there when we go for D23. I don't have very high hopes, but I'm very...
I think it'll be there.
Oh, I hope so. I think really it'll be
there.
So.
I think it'll be there throughout the whole summer. The one thing... I was just hoping that they would hold off on transforming the mansion into Haunted Mansion Holiday, yeah. But I don't think that's going to happen. There was a really funny Twitter thing that I saw, I think it was yesterday, about this. So they have the sign for this below Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln, and then it said Happy Haunts Materialize, and they thought it was funny because it was like Mr. Lincoln materializing from the dead.
He kind of is.
Are you excited for this, though? Like you?
Oh, beyond excited.
Look, they've got like all these models of the different characters.
The only thing that I would be more excited about is if it was a Disney Archives exhibit, and if they would let me just wander around through the mansion. Those would be the only things I'd be... That would top this.
You know,
this is so exciting.
They should do like an after hours event where literally like the attractions aren't open, but you can walk through them. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yes.
If they had like an after hours where you could walk, like you could walk through Indiana Jones, you could walk through, I guess you couldn't walk through Pirates very well.
Yes. Yes. They did. One of our people in the chat, Barb, again, just brought up a good point. They did have this amazing dinner that they hosted inside of the mansion. So you got to the table was set along the what do you call that hallway?
Like the entrance hallway
the entrance hallway that has all the portraits, and it has the two busts that turn that kind of follow you. So it's that hallway right after you get off the elevator. Mm-hmm. So they had the table was set there. The table was gorgeous. People that were there, because of course I had to like find all the information that I possibly could about this. Kind of like they said how much the table looked and was set like the one in the ballroom was.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
When I saw the picture, I thought it was the ballroom table. And I was like, they got to eat at the ballroom table?
Yeah, very cool. And then, of course, they had some very famous people that they got to dine with. Kim Irvine being one of them, which I would have just died. If I could have eaten in the mansion and met Kim Irvine that same night.
Do you know how many times you would have died so far?
So many times.
Teresa's died like 1,000 times on this podcast.
I have, yeah. And Disney has brought me, the Disney magic has brought me back each time. But anyways, very cool. And then they got to go through the Haunted Mansion, and there were all sorts of guests that were kind of staged in the attraction itself, which was a surprise. And then they had this gorgeous, awesome, amazing dessert that actually looked like Madame Leota in her crystal ball.
Ooh.
It was very cool. Very, very cool.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Very exciting. I wish I could have been there. But seeing the pictures was almost as good. It was awesome.
I'm sure the food was very good.
It was. I'm sure it was, too. The reviews were great. It was Club 33 chefs that prepared the meal, so I'm sure it was amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Disneyland proudly presents the return of a spectacular festival pageant of nighttime magic and imagination. In thousands of sparkling lights, an electric... You should have done this. You probably have this field memorized.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Disneyland proudly presents the return of a spectacular festival pageant of nighttime magic and imagination in thousands of sparkling lights and electro-synthemagnetic musical sounds... The Main Street Electrical Parade.
Yes, the fan favorite is returning yet again since it glowed away forever back in 1996. It will light up the night again from August 2nd to September 30th. I wanted to cry. I was so happy when we saw this announcement at first, because it will be going when we are there, which nothing else seems to have worked out as perfectly as this did, because everything else, the mansion's going to close right before we get there and open right after we come back. The mansion's 50th is 2 weeks before we get there. All the other really cool things are near where we're going to, when we're going to be there, but not exactly when we're going to be there.
Yeah.
So this was so exciting to me.
So I love the Main Street Electrical Parade. Okay. So like, don't get me wrong when I say this next thing, which is, I think that they should bring back Paint the Night instead of the Electrical Parade, only because I think Paint the Night is the perfect successor to the Electrical Parade. And I think that Disney should finally give in to what they promised in 1996, which is that it was glowing away forever. And like one of our listeners said in the chat, one of our supporters said in the chat tonight before we started the episode, they sold all the bulbs and stuff, and it was a commemorative, and it's never going to be here again. And then it came back. And then it came back. And then it came back. And I love it, and I'm very excited that we're going to go see it. I just also wish the Paint the Night was there. That's all.
So this is my thought. I am not going to let you rain on my electrical parade.
No, I'm saying that I'm very excited for it.
I am now having a very, very difficult time, because my personal plan, which I hadn't told Tag yet, but if he wasn't going to go along with it, totally fine, because I would do it myself. Every single night, except for the night that we're at World of Color, because I don't know how that would work. If I could figure it out, I'd make it work. I wanted to watch Fantasmic every single night that we were at the resort. Now I'm having a problem. Oh. How do I try and watch the Main Street Electrical Parade and Fantasmic?
Why did you want to watch Fantasmic every single night?
Because I love it.
I mean, I love it too, but...
Because we're not guaranteed that we're going to see Murphy every night, so I want to get as much Murphy time in as I can. Hmm. I love it so much. Hmm. Because the fireworks are exciting, you know.
Barb is right. Go to the later Fantasmic.
Yeah, so I'm gonna try and get it all planned out. But so you know, fireworks are exciting, but they're not. I mean, Fantasmic and the Main Street Electrical Parade. The only time that I get to see those things are in Disneyland.
That's true.
So yeah, so that's my plan.
You just
I'm
want
try
me
and watch
to
these.
Bring my spray bottle, my flashlight, and be sitting there in front of the thing doing it with it.
Not quite. The same.
Not quite
close.
The same.
So anyway, so I was incredibly excited about this news. And I think that I think this is strategic. It's Disney we're talking about, right? We already talked about a couple of things that they're doing to try and promote people coming to the resort, because they did all of this wonderful, you know, they did all the, what was it, Project Pixie Dust. All of that wonderful work.
Project
to
Stardust?
Stardust, yes. Pixie Dust would have been a good name it too. They used their Pixie Dust to create Stardust. Project Stardust. Anyway, so we've been talking about that for months and months and months, how they're doing all these tiny little details. They're just shaving back this planter here and widening this pathway there, and let's shave down the curb so you don't have to worry about where wheelchairs have, you know, bottlenecks, whatever.
Sure.
Anyways, all of this, like, very long, drawn-out planning, and they executed it all beautifully because they were expecting crowds, and the crowds have not come yet. So since they're in a little bit of a lull, and I think everybody did what we did, they were like, heck no, we're not going to go right away. It's going to be nuts. We don't want to go when it's nuts. So everyone's kind of holding back. I think the electrical parade was not originally part of their plan to come back this summer. I think they're doing it, again, to promote people coming to the resort.
But I think they could have got the same thing with Paint the Night, because I think people love Paint the Night now like they liked the electrical parade.
Perhaps Paint the Night wasn't ready to go right away, whereas the electrical parade was. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, I am happy that they're bringing it back. I do want to see it. I do have a lot of memories as a child seeing it. I just... How many times can they bring it back to save things, I guess?
I'm okay with it.
Yeah. You know what else would make me excited is if they were to bring back Remember Dreams Come True Fireworks Spectacular with all the fireworks that they had for the 50th, because as the years went on, they've cut a couple pieces of it and they did less fireworks.
Sure, okay.
So I'd want like a good 50th. You know what I'm really excited for? And this is way off in the distance at this point. And I think it's what? 12 years away or whatever. I'm excited to see what they do for the 75th anniversary, because that's going to be pretty exciting.
Exciting. Definitely exciting.
Well, speaking of parades, Mickey's Soundstational Parade is coming to an end. The last performance will be on July 17th. It's an interesting move retiring this parade just months after it added two new floats for Mickey's 90th celebration. No word on, no word yet on what will replace it, if anything.
I'm just really surprised that the Mickey's 90th celebration, the whole, all of it, the food, Now the parade,
it was very quick.
Mickey's Mixed Magic. It seemed like it wasn't around for very long. So I'm surprised that this was such a short run for all of these things.
Yeah, me too. Like, I expected that all the Mickey's celebration stuff was going to be around when we were there. And I'm really surprised that they're, like, cutting a lot of this short and doing different things. And I'm wondering, like you were saying earlier, I'm wondering how much of this was them panicking because there's not the crazy crowds that they thought was going
to
be.
Well, over in Galaxy's Edge, Savvy's Workshop is now selling parts to modify your lightsaber once you have created it. Previously, only the parts that were used to build your lightsaber were available, but now you can buy additional parts to make variations on your own. The parts are $20 per set and can be purchased from the gatherers that are outside of Savvy's Workshop. I love this idea. Like you guys all know, I'm not going to personally get a lightsaber. But I love this idea because, you know, you get the experience of building it, but now you can, and yes, you got to customize it the first time around, but now you can even swap things out again because you can buy different pieces to it. I think that's great.
Yeah. Yeah, I was surprised to see this. I didn't even think about it because you have to make this, because in the morning you have to make a reservation. Mm-hmm. So then, like, once you get there, then you got to, like, quickly figure out what like, theme of lightsaber you want.
Yeah.
And then what happens if, like, later in the day you see somebody else with a different thing and then you're like, oh, I should have gotten that one.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that you couldn't do it, well, you'd have to buy a whole nother one, another $200. Mm-hmm. So the fact that for, like, $20 I could buy a whole nother set, that's pretty awesome.
Yes.
So
well,
I'm
and the fact
excited.
That you can swap your kyber crystals out so your saber, your the light part of your lightsaber can be different colors. You can swap that out. I do like that. You can now swap this out too. So it's almost like you could have two versions of the same saber.
Yeah. And then, of course, because then you can buy all the different pieces, and then you can buy the different kyber crystals, and then you can have, like, all the different variations.
Yeah.
I like it. Well, if you like tiki mugs and Star Wars, you may want to take a trip to the San Diego Comic-Con this year. There will be a BB-8 tiki mug exclusive to the collection now. Teresa, what do you think of this?
I love it.
It's cute.
So cute.
It's very
cute. We're
going
to share an image in the chat for those of you watching our live stream of the episode. It is so stinking cute. So last week we reported on the Dole Whip mugs that they had just released. I was hoping for this style. This is the classic tiki style.
Yeah.
Kind of looks like it's a wood carving style tiki mug that we're used to that Trader Sam's does very, very well. So I was a little disappointed. I was let down with the Dole Whip mugs because they are not in this style.
No.
And they're plastic versus, like, this is the nice, heavy ceramic.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a fan of this one. I think it's very cute. I obviously am not going to go to San Diego Comic-Con for this, but I do kind of wish that they would have it somewhere in the park. I don't know where, I guess. It doesn't really fit in with Adventureland. I mean, I guess it kind of does.
Well, you'd put it at the cantina.
Oh, yeah, I guess you could buy it at the cantina, or Trader Sam's, even.
Yeah.
Out in the... Okay.
Definitely.
Okay.
Well, as we discussed last week, the new bar at the Grand Californian is nearing completion and should open at any time. The new area looks great and has plenty of seating and great evening lighting. The new bar includes natural boulder stonework, a custom mural, and a trellis for shade and lighting at night. Now, not only are there chairs and tables, but there are also sofas and craftsman-style lighting fixtures. So I got a little overexcited on this because the photos that the Disney Food Blog posted online are of the area. It looks open, but then you look down and notice it's still roped off.
Yeah.
So it's open that you can see in there, but it is not open to actually be able to get served and drink your beverage poolside quite yet.
I will say
soon. It's got to be, like, it could be
any day now.
It could be open by the time we post this episode.
It's true. You know me. I like lighting. Mm-hmm. I like stuff at night. I think this looks amazing at night.
We're going to go check this out for sure.
I don't know if we're going to be able to get to it, though, because don't you have to have access to get in the pool?
I don't know.
Area?
We're going to figure it out, though.
We're going to sneak in. We're going to have to find someone. But this looks amazing. Even just walking by, this will probably be great.
It looks wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, it makes me really excited for Disneyland at night. Well, did you know that you can get a chimichanga at Disneyland? I certainly didn't until I read this. I was like, you can get a chimichanga? Mm-hmm. Did you know?
I did. We had a listener write in and suggest that we get them because they...
I love chimichangas.
I think it was her husband that was very, like, really liked them and was very excited by them.
All I know is I did not know that you could get a chimichanga, so I'm very excited. Well, how about a breakfast chimichanga? The new breakfast version is filled with bacon, egg, and cheese. The chimichanga is $5.92 with tax and is available at the Turkey Leg Cart by Big Thunder. If you want a standard chimichanga, they're usually sold at the Turkey Leg outdoor vending locations.
Yeah, so Vern's going to be really excited because Vern loves chimichangas.
I know. He loves chimichangas.
And he really loves breakfast food. So this is kind of the perfect thing for him. So I will have to let him know about this. And he's going to, I can already guess this will be his breakfast.
Probably at least one of the days.
4 out of the 5 days we're there. Maybe not that often. But
I mean, it looks pretty good. It's just, I love chimichangas, but I'm not a huge breakfast person. So I'm definitely going to get a regular chimichanga because I'm very excited for that.
A new hot dog variation is available now. The Main Street Dog is a very large all-beef hot dog topped with bacon slices, avocado, mayo, sautéed peppers, and onions. Served with your choice of potato chips or apple slices. This thing is ginormous and can be purchased at the refreshment corner for just $11.49 before tax. This thing looks like it's as long as my arm. It's the photos that we've seen, it's on like an oval-shaped plate, and it's still hanging off the edges. But man, does that pepper and onion mix that they've got on top looks delightful.
Yeah, so I want to be clear, because when you were reading it, I just want to make sure people know that it's an avocado mayo.
Oh,
it's not
yes.
avocado and
yes,
mayo. It's
sorry.
An avocado mayo. Yep. So I think it's interesting. There's a lot on this dog. My first thing was that is a ginormous hot dog because it's like, it's huge. It's at least a foot long, at least. And it looks like it's got a good ratio of toppings to hot dog because that's a big deal because sometimes you get too many toppings or not enough yes. toppings or there's too much bun. Is this something that that one of us would try when we're here?
I will try a bite of somebody else's. Okay. I will not commit to the full thing. I'm not that big of a hot dog fan, though.
I love hot dogs. It's one of my favorite meals
so
at Disneyland.
So you can get it, and I will try a bite. I will have my own corn dog, though, because I love the Disneyland corn dogs. So yummy.
I've never had one, so I have to try it.
Okay, we're definitely getting that, too, then.
Well, a guest spotted an Adventures by Disney poster in the queue for the Jungle Cruise this week. Hard to tell if this is great theming and cross-promotion or just going too far. I know some people were, like, upset about it and, like, how dare Disney be using the queue of this classic attraction to sell trips or whatever.
See, now this was my take on the poster when I saw it. I thought it was actually done really well, and I'm wondering how many people will even notice that it is a cross promo and that it is it's an actual promotional poster and it's not just part of the attraction. I can see both sides of it though.
Yeah, I don't think I'm upset about it. I just think that people like to be upset about things.
Placement also is key. Is it like smack dab, you can't not see this poster, or is it kind of tucked back?
I think
in
it's just on the wall, like in the queue somewhere.
You know what? You know, honestly, too, if I didn't know that Adventures by Disney was a thing, I might think that that was just part of the poster.
Yeah.
Because Adventures by Disney, yes, it is on there, but it is very, it's small print towards the bottom. So I don't know. In my opinion, I think it's okay.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, synergy and all this stuff. I don't know. People like to get upset about it. It's just a poster. It's not like they're, like, in the queue trying to, like, get people to buy. Yeah, so.
So, yeah, so this poster was spotted in the queue for the Jungle Cruise attraction.
Yeah.
Well, now we take a trip to Trivia Land, where producer James tries to stump us with Disney trivia. He's going to read us some questions, we're going to try our best to answer them, and then he will give us the correct answers after the discussion topic. So what do you have for us this week, James?
Well, let's start with some listener questions this week. All right, so let's dig into our questions this week. We'll start with a couple of listener questions. This one from Barbara B. What 5, maybe 6, cities are stamped in Mickey's passport in his house, and what are the significance of the dates associated to each?
Dang, this is a good question.
I'll bet you it's probably where all the like, where all the parks are, and it's probably the years they opened.
Ooh.
So it's 5?
5 for sure, yeah.
So was there 5 by the time Mickey's Toontown opened? So it's probably like Anaheim.
Anaheim.
55. It's probably...
Oh, or, and then if they do Walt Disney World.
So then it's Orlando, 71.
And then, of
Tokyo,
course,
Tokyo, 83.
You're good at this.
He does have Paris. A second podcast.
But Paris wasn't open when... Oh, maybe it was. Paris, 92? But we're missing one. Maybe like Burbank for the studio being open. Burbank or Glendale.
You don't think Hong Kong?
Hong Kong wasn't open yet. Hong Kong was 2005. And I feel like this was there when Toontown opened, which was 92.
So you don't think they would have updated it?
They might have updated it. See, that's the question.
I'm thinking they would have
updated it. I like how Barb asked this question. She's in our chat right now, but she's being very quiet.
Well, she's not going to give us a hint.
No, I know.
She's just silently plotting like, yes, good question, yes.
I'm going to go with all the parks, so I'm going to add Tokyo and
we did add Tokyo.
Oh, where are we missing? Beijing.
Try again.
No. Shanghai, and Hong Kong.
Shanghai and Hong Kong.
Okay, so Shanghai, what year?
I don't know.
Shanghai was 16.
I didn't ask for years. I just asked for the significance of the dates associated.
Oh.
But I didn't want to stop you because you were on a roll.
Over.
James right now. And then Hong Kong was 05.
Dang.
What?
I'm not even going to hop on that train and take any credit for that because that was 100% you. That was kudos to you. I don't even care if it's right. That was impressive.
I did host Mouse Kingdoms, which had all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But still, to remember all of Epcot, the opening years.
Epcot was 80. Whoa.
I'm terrible with dates. So.
Epcot was 83. I want to say 83. 82. 81. 81. 81. No. 82? 82. I think Epcot was 82. MGM Studios, which is now Hollywood Studios, was 89. And Animal Kingdom was 97?
Sure.
I just wanted to fill them out, James.
So I know Disneyland was 1955. That's as far as I go.
All right. Sorry. Let's move on.
All right. Our second question.
I love how you just wrote, like, parks and dates.
Yeah, that's all that's relevant.
Okay.
Second question from Eric J. What Disneyland attraction inspired a bar in the Disneyland Hotel?
The Tiki Room.
The Tiki Room, yeah.
Yeah, the Enchanted Tiki Room.
All right.
In the Tiki Room, it made us think we need the Trader Sam's bar over at the Disneyland Hotel.
Because you said what attraction?
Yeah, what Disneyland attraction?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Or so could it have been the Jungle Cruise?
No, I think it was the Tiki Room.
All right.
Oh, what was the name of the bar that was there prior to the remodel? Ooh, Trader Sam's? Trader Sam's, right? And which attraction was that from? Oh, geez. Oh, no, I think that's still there. There was like a Captain Hook thing. There was
prior to Trader Sam's.
I know. There was like Captain Hook's.
Wait a minute.
Hook Point, but I think that was a restaurant.
What's the guy's name at the end of the Jungle Cruise?
Trader Sam.
I'm changing my answer to the Jungle Cruise.
Ooh. Okay.
Bold choice.
Oh, yeah, you could be right. That's all right. I had all the years, so I feel good.
All right, our third question from Katie J. You're going to love it. It's a numbers question.
Oh, no.
How many flowers are used to make the floral Mickey Mouse face at the park entrance?
A lot.
Does it matter?
A lot.
No, I mean, that doesn't matter. Sorry.
So many flowers.
That's not what I meant. I meant, like, doesn't it change depending on, like, the season? Like, aren't there bigger plants that make different things? Because, like, poinsettias are bigger than, like, whatever else they would use to make the Mickey.
Well, this is from a Disney Parks official blog, so
okay.
It matters.
So can you ask it one more time?
How many flowers are used to make the floral Mickey Mouse face at the park entrance?
300.
I'm going to say 1,000.
Are you going to type those down?
I'm going to laugh at you two in the answer section.
There is one giant flower.
Someone might need to stop by and see that face a little closer. But anyway, moving on to question four. What is the name of the futuristic sound system Space Mountain features?
If you were watching the video stream, you saw my face go completely from like a smile to deadpan. It's called something?
Yeah, it's got a name, according to the Disney Play app, at least.
Stereo?
Intergalactic Stereo.
Intergalactic Stereo?
I will tell you, your hint is it's a play on words, and it happens to be a play on the word stereo. And he made the face again.
Spacio. I'm going to stay with Intergalactic Stereo.
Sure.
We'll see how the sound sounds on their trip after this week's discussion topic.
Well, this week, because the Main Street Electrical Parade is returning, that is going to be our discussion topic this week, as voted on by our live stream listeners. It was going to be this or Tomorrowland in 1967.
It was a landslide.
Landslide.
So many, nobody voted for Tomorrowland 1967,
that's okay.
Which is a little sad because that was the year the People Mover opened, but we're all just so excited about the Electrical Parade returning.
Yes, yes, very, very excited. Now, the Main Street Electrical Parade, of course, is a nighttime parade that features over 600,000 electronically controlled lights.
Crazy.
Synchronized,
which are all LED now.
They are LED now, yep. And synchronized to a soundtrack triggered by radio control along the areas of the parade route. In fact, I believe this was the first parade to use the parade zoning throughout the park. So as the parade went through, it would sync up with the zone before because you don't want the sound to be all weird.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So by the time the Baroque Hoedown, which is the main part of the background music, by the time that finished its cycle, the next zone would be there and it would perfectly sync up. So it would be continuous.
Which is incredible when you think about it. Because even with this parade, not only are you making sure your sounds sync, but the lights dance to the sound. So you have to have the lights syncing up to everything too. So just
now,
really incredible.
What makes this really amazing was this opened on June 17th, 1972. So the fact that they had technology to do this in 1972. Now think about it. They're not plugged in. So these are all batteries that have to run all of these lights. And when it premiered, it was not LED.
No, definitely.
So they are
not
running incandescent bulbs, which eat up a ton of power. So, very, very interesting. Now, of course, there are five Disney parks that this version, that a version of this has done. So there was Disneyland, which was from 72 to 96, then again in 2017.
Can we pause right there? 1972 to 1996. That is what has got to be one of the longer running parades in all of Disney history.
Yep.
The only thing that comes to mind before that would be the holiday parade.
Yep, exactly. And so, I mean, but it's popular because people love
it.
Yes,
very popular.
It was definitely something that people were, like, have a fond place in their hearts for. So California Adventure hosted the parade between 2001 and 2010. Another version at the Magic Kingdom in Disney World ran between 77 and 2016, with two major gaps in 91 to 99 and 2001 to 2010. There's other versions that continue to run at Disney parks around the world. There's a updated version that runs at Tokyo Disneyland as the Tokyo Disneyland Electrical Parade Dreamlights. In 2014, Hong Kong premiered a spiritual successor called Paint the Night, which ended up eventually ending up over here for Disneyland with more floats and everything that premiered with the 60th anniversary.
The thing that I find really interesting about this is there was something that Disney had before the Main Street Electrical Parade that kind of inspired this parade. And it was the Electrical Water Pageant, which is actually over in Walt Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
But that show is made up of 14 25-foot tall screens with electrical lights placed on them. And they're like on boats. So it kind of it floats by instead of
and they still run this.
By. They do still run it.
We did not see it, but we were going to, we wanted to see it, but we did not see it. But I've seen videos of it. It's very, it's definitely a predecessor to the Electrical Parade. It's very 2D.
Yes.
There's not a lot of stuff.
They,
it's shorter.
That one, I feel like they really haven't done many updates to it. It seems like it's the same as how it's always been, which I think is very, it's nice because it makes it nostalgic. They're not trying to like constantly plus it. So it's just kind of a good, brings you back to the roots.
So this is very interesting. So what's the worst thing you want to hear 2 months before something premieres?
That it's not going to work.
It is behind schedule.
Oh, that too.
The contractor that was supposed to build the floats was behind schedule, so Disney decided to finish the floats themselves at Disneyland.
Oh, yes, that's right.
So they brought in welders, electricians, and other temporary workers to assemble the floats and hand tint and install the 500,000 bulbs.
Ouch.
Can you imagine 2 months to deadline? Like, this needs to be done.
Just crazy. Ooh. This poor parade did have a kind of a rough start because the first rehearsal was also not great.
Ooh.
One of the floats crashed into a building on Main Street.
Oh, no.
And some of the performers' costumes actually emitted sparks. So obviously lots of obstacles. However, the parade did successfully debut on the scheduled date of June 17th, 1972.
Now, there's been a lot of additions and subtractions over the years to all the different floats. So the original floats were the Blue Fairy, which used to lead it, but now it's led by Tinkerbell. But it used to be the Blue Fairy. I always remember the Blue Fairy coming down Main Street when I was a kid, because that was like always the first thing you saw, and she was so large.
You know, I do wish that the Blue Fairy still led this parade, because I feel like Tinkerbell leads a lot of the other parades.
That's
now,
true.
So I wish that it was the Blue Fairy still.
There's the large drum pulled by Casey Jr. Engine, Cinderella, a Chinese dragon, and a circus calliope. Until 1977... some of them, such as the Elephant Train and the American Flag Finale, were flat screens on manually pushed rolling platforms similar to the water pageant. I actually did not know that. I thought that it was always 3D, but apparently these floats were not.
So during 1980, there was also a special unit that reproduced Sleeping Beauty Castle in honor of the 25th park anniversary that they added to it as well. So the duplicate version of the Main Street Electrical Parade did go over to the Magic Kingdom Park over at Walt Disney World, and that began June 11th, 1977, and that ran through September 14th, 1991. That parade was replaced by Spectro Magic.
Which I also heard was a good, it was very Electrical Parade-like, but not quite as good as the Paint the Night that came later.
And then the other cool thing, too, is when they did replace that version of the Main Street Electrical Parade, it didn't just glow away forever. It was actually moved to Disneyland Paris in April of 1992.
So the Electrical Parade's kind of been everywhere. I mean, it's moved around quite a bit. Now, do you remember this? I remember this. So on June 14th, 1997, so after it had glowed away forever at Disneyland, a presentation of the Electrical Parade called the Hercules Electrical Parade ran down Broadway in New York City for the opening of the New Amsterdam Theater and the film Hercules.
Yes, unfortunately, I do not remember that. I was a little too young to remember that. But upon all of my Disney research that I enjoy doing, I have seen photos of the Hercules Electrical Parade.
Can you imagine though? So Disney arranged for the lights to be turned off around eight blocks of Broadway up to the theater.
Yeah, and everyone complied with the exception of
Warner Brothers,
which was their rival, of course. But still, the parade was led by a custom Hercules title unit that was made for this one-time parade use only.
Wow.
Just mind-blowing to me. This parade was shown on national television on a one-hour promotional program that did feature the music and, of course, the making of the film Hercules.
So you could probably find it on YouTube if you want to, like, see it or whatever. I'm sure that there's somebody who's ripped a version of this and put it online.
We were talking about this next part earlier in the chat tonight. So when the Main Street Electrical Parade at Disneyland did end its run on November 25th, 1996, which 24 years, you guys, this one parade ran, which is still just crazy to me.
Well, and a lot more since, but
Light bulbs that had been certified as having been a part of the show were actually sold to collectors. And one of the people on our chat said that she did. She does have one of these, and we were curious, and you can actually still find them on eBay if this is something that you would like to add to your Disney collection, since obviously this is a very rare item. You're not going to be able to buy this in the park now. But yeah, just crazy.
So everybody thought the next parade that they were going to do was going to be amazing, and they had, I remember being there in 1996 with my family, and they had the show that was supposed to replace it the next year was Light Magic, and they had done, I remember this is when I was first on the internet and looking up Disney stuff.
Sure.
And they were doing a ton of work for this Light Magic. They had drilled on the castle and all down Main Street, they had drilled all these little fiber optic holes so they could put fiber optic cables.
Oh, wow.
So for those of you, we might do a Light Magic show at some point in the future, like a discussion topic. But what was so cool about this show, was supposed to be so cool about this show, was there was parade floats, and they were, like, moving stages. So they would come onto Main Street, and they would stop, and they would do, like, a performance.
Oh.
And the buildings, so the fiber optics and stuff that were in the buildings, would interact with the floats. The problem is, a parade at Disneyland lasts, you know, 20, 30 minutes. It, you know, holds up the whole parade route. With these show stops, it made it much longer, so it, like, clogged up a main artery of the park. People didn't like it as much. If you weren't where they stopped,
you
didn't really see it very well because they would do the show stop, they'd do the little performance, the parade float would go, but you're not really seeing any performance as it passed mm-hmm. you, and then it would stop down the street. So if you were not in one of those specific spots, one thing that Light Magic did give us that is still there today that is great is the Small World Mall, all that terraced viewing, that was all installed for Light Magic. And all those, the light rigs mm-hmm. that are down in that area and the light rigs that come up on Main Street, those are all from Light Magic.
Interesting.
That they've used throughout the years. So Light Magic gave us a lot of the stuff that we use now for parades and nighttime spectaculars and stuff, but it immediately failed. People hated it. It went away. They didn't bring back the electrical parade. They just kind of dealt with it because they had sold all these lights to people. And they made a huge farewell season of it's glowing away forever.
I
believe it was even expanded. I think it was supposed to end in like the end of August, beginning of September, and they extended it through November because people were like, "We want the electrical parade." So like they kept it going. So I mean, it's got a fond marked part of people's hearts. Even today, I mean, everybody in our chat is so excited for this to come back. I did remember when I started going to the park more frequently again in the early 2000s, because California Adventure had kind of bombed, that they brought the electrical parade there to bring in crowds, which worked. Mm-hmm. But one of the problems that they had, and I don't know if it's in our research, but I remember reading this, one of the problems that they had was the parade route in California Adventure is so long, they had trouble keeping the floats charged for the entire duration, because it's like a third longer or something than that of the parade route in Disneyland. Mm-hmm. So their batteries were getting depleted they got to the end.
Well, and plus they've got all these brand new bulbs that they had to put on there since they gave all the other ones away and sold them
all. And they weren't LEDs when it came to California Adventure. So
wasn't LEDs.
But I liked seeing it at California Adventure, but definitely there's something more magical seeing it like come down Main Street than...
I definitely agree. So, what do we want to talk about?
Let's talk about the units, because we added stuff.
Okay, so different units. So, over the years, obviously, this parade has seen many, many changes. Each parade, though, was very, very similar. So, it doesn't matter if you saw it in Disneyland, the Magic Kingdom, or Disneyland Paris. They did have the same set of units. They included the Casey Jr. train, which was originally from the movie Dumbo, which also carried Mickey Mouse, Minnie, and Goofy.
And then there were also floats based on Alice in Wonderland, Cinderella, Peter Pan, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Pinocchio, Pete's Dragon, and of course the patriotic American float that is titled To Honor America.
Mm-hmm. Floats, of course, were the Blue Fairy that was from Pinocchio. There was a circus float that was actually connected to Dumbo, and it's a Small World.
There was a Small World float.
Oh, yes, there was a small... I didn't know that. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. And a promotional unit that was about Return to Oz, but unfortunately that unit was destroyed by a fire. So as you were reading those off, I need to refresh my memory. It's been too long since I've seen this parade. I cannot put my finger on the Cinderella float and what that looks like now.
So Cinderella was that whole section where all of the dancers were under the canopies dancing together.
Okay.
And then I believe also that she had her like carriage, I think, was part of it as well.
Okay. Now that's bringing back some memories.
The three or four floats that always stick out to me was the Blue Fairy, which is now a Tinkerbell float. The mushrooms too, but the ones that I like immediately think of is there was the drum that like Mickey Mouse sat on top of, and it said the electrical parade, and it was the train was pulling it that had Goofy or Donald or something in it. And then I remembered the Pleasure Island float because it was the big head from Pleasure Island, like with the cigars and stuff. And I actually think that that's not returning because I think I remember reading when it got transported from Disneyland to one of these other locations to play, it got damaged beyond repair. So I don't think that one's in it anymore. But that also had, what's the villain's name that's like the lion and he's got the crown? He's like a king. James, he's in that villainous game. Well, you have it too.
Prince John.
Okay. Prince John was, I think, playing the organ in that particular float too.
Okay.
And then, of course, I remember...
My favorite, Pete's Dragon. I love the dragon, Elliot. He's 100% my favorite.
With Elliot riding on him, like, waving at you?
Yes. Elliot's the name of the dragon, though.
Sorry. Pete.
Yes.
Pete waving to people.
Pete is riding Elliot.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's the clock tower, which is in front of the Cinderella thing, because it's like the Big Ben-looking thing. And I remember all the people dancing. And then, of course, the end with the giant eagle... with the flapping wings and the dancing girls that I really enjoy because I like their choreography a lot. But yeah, so there's oh, and then of course Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs because they're riding in their little mine cart.
Yes. So cute. So cute.
I'm looking at you as we're talking about this and you're like, yes, the mine cart. And you're like, God, I'm trying to place it.
I have not seen this as many times as you have. I've only seen this once.
Sorry.
And I fell in love. It was love at first light. I love it so much.
Oh, yeah, because there was the bugs and everything going around. Because I loved those little characters because they'd come up to you and they'd, like, wobble at you and, like, the one neck would go down. Every time I think of Patriotic America stuff and Disneyland, though, I always think, it's a grand three-hour finale. You've got this much time. Or to celebrate all of the nations of the world, but mostly America. It's Sam Eagle and stuff from Muppet Vision 3D.
Yes. Oh, good old Muppet Vision. And, of course, I think we already touched on this, but everyone knows the classic music. Of course. The underlying theme is the Baroque Hoedown, which uses a synthesizer sounding. I don't know. It's just very cool. It's a synthesizer, though. It's very, very fun.
So the final year that they had the electrical parade in 1996, they sold a video that had the parade, but also had like some behind the scenes stuff with it, too.
Mm.
And they showed like the guy like doing the composing and stuff. Oh, it was very good. It was very good.
Very, very cool.
It's got great music and it's still great today. That's the cool thing. It's been decades, but like people love the music from it. And it stands out. You know exactly what it is when it plays.
Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like there was 11 synthesizers that were used to create the soundtrack or the sound of it too.
Hmm.
Very, very cool. And then we've got, of course, the synthesized voice that kind of is the synthesized announcer, I guess we can call that person.
Sure,
very unique to it as well.
I didn't like when it moved to California Adventure, though, because I was so used to it saying, Disneyland proudly presents the Main Street Electrical Parade. And when it moved to California Adventure, it said, Disney presents, I think, just the electrical parade. Like,
oh, well, yeah, because they couldn't call it the Main Street electrical parade.
But that's what it is, though.
Main Street.
I know, but
they could have called it the Buena Vista electrical
parade. It wasn't there when Buena Vista Street was there. Yeah, because that was still the old entrance.
Oh, gotcha. Never mind.
One place that this shows up that I always think about is in Remember Dreams Come True, Fireworks Spectacular, because that's how it starts out Main Street, because it goes... does that like very beginning cool.
See, now I haven't seen that fireworks show either.
You've heard the soundtrack though, haven't you? I know what we're doing later.
Old videos of the Main Street Electrical Parade
we
and Remember Dreams Come
need
True.
To do a discussion topic on Remember Dreams Come True Fireworks Spectacular.
You mean you need to do a discussion
maybe,
topic,
maybe,
and I will just sit here and nod.
See, Barb, it was so good.
I 100% believe that it was very good.
Do you know why I know you'll love it?
Because it's about Disneyland.
No. Well, yes, but there's a scene in the show, if you're standing in the hub.
Okay.
With fireworks, they turn the hub into the stretching room.
Oh, 100%.
I'm on board. Because they go, you're standing in the hub, and they go, is this haunted room actually stretching? And from all around you, they shoot fireworks.
Oh, 100%. I'm on board.
and they have a pirate battle between the Matterhorn and the castle.
You're telling me about that. I know. Talk to Disney. Ask them to bring it back so then I can see it. That's all I got to say.
I'm just saying that it was the best fireworks show they've ever done.
But I cannot go back in time. Just like I can't.
We need to watch this.
Transport myself instantly to Disneyland. Both of these things we need to figure out.
If they're going to bring back the electrical parade, they need to bring back Remember Dreams Come True Fireworks Spectacular. The only problem with the only problem that I do not like Remember Dreams Come True for is it did create a lot of stuff in the park that had to be closed. So some attractions in Fantasyland
like
had to close.
Not be operational.
And you couldn't get near the castle and some of the areas around where they would launch some of the stuff around the hub and stuff,
which is
you had to get away
probably
from.
Probably why they won't bring it back ever, because that, remember, we're talking about the, you know, Project Stardust to make sure that the park had better flow. They're not going to bring in a show that closes off a bunch of areas again.
I digress. We're not talking about the electrical parade anymore,
so anyways,
but I love the electrical parade.
There's a little bit of a history lesson for you on the Main Street Electrical Parade.
Did you have any more?
We are very, very excited.
No? Okay.
We're very excited for it to be returning, especially because it's still going to be there when we are going to be there in August. So extra, extra excited.
Very excited. So we'll have to like stream parts of it or something while we're there.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, if you enjoy the show, please leave a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. By leaving a review, it helps get our ranking better and allows the community to grow.
Well, we really hope that you guys enjoyed listening to this episode of DL Weekly. You can support the show for as little as 25 cents an episode. If you would like access to our supporter chat, it's only 75 cents an episode. So please consider joining supporters like Danny R and head over to dlweekly.net/support.
Well, now it's time to return to James and Trivia Land to get answers to this week's trivia. I'm really excited to see how well or not well we did. And I don't even have our stuff written down.
I think you rocked the first question. That's my prediction.
I think you're going to learn a lot this week. So.
Let's hope.
First question from Barbara B. What five cities, maybe six now, are stamped in Mickey's passport in his house? And what are the significance of the dates associated to each of them?
So I said it was basically where all the parks are and the years.
And Teresa agreed, and you're right.
So what five were they?
So it's Anaheim, Orlando, Hong Kong, Paris, Tokyo, and maybe Shanghai? Barbara B. and I weren't sure.
Hong Kong to get on there.
Yep, it's all the places where there's Disney.
But not my Beijing park that I was making up because I couldn't remember the correct city.
You know, Beijing, like, St. Louis, no. All these other places they should add on,
we just
right?
watched a video on this... they had some plans that went that were sold at like auction or something because they were going to do a Disney park in St. Louis.
Yeah, they were going to do like a Midwest park.
Yeah, and it turned out that it ended up the reason it didn't go through was because Walt didn't want to have beer, and St. Louis said, well, Anheuser-Busch wants to sell beer.
Oh.
And he's like, couldn't make it work.
Interesting.
We could have had a Midwest Disney park.
Yeah, but we probably still would have been partial to Disneyland.
I know, but we could have gotten scratched that itch if we could have just driven down to St. Louis.
It is much closer, yes.
All right, our second question for this week from Eric J. was, what Disneyland attraction inspired a bar in the Disneyland Hotel?
And I changed my answer. Originally, I was on board with the Tiki Room, but I changed to Jungle Cruise.
I think you're probably right, but I said Tiki Room.
I still liked my theme song for it.
According to Eric, the answer is actually the monorail.
What?
Yeah, the bar was placed on the second floor so patrons could see the new attraction.
Oh, yes, there was a bar there. I remember this. But I would never have remembered it until you said something.
Tricky, tricky. So.
Good job, Eric.
Eric, yep.
Good job, Eric.
I think a lot of people are probably going to have your reaction.
Yeah, reread the question.
What Disneyland attraction inspired a bar in the Disneyland Hotel?
A bar. We just immediately jumped Trader Sam's.
Oh, yeah, and there was the Monorail Cafe. See, Barb, I'm with you.
I was too excited about Trader Sam's.
Because that's what we were just talking about.
Just want to sing the Tiki Room song. Question number three comes from Katie J, and it was, how many flowers are used to make the floral Mickey Mouse face at the park entrance?
And I said a lot.
And what did I say?
Sam said 300. Teresa said 1,000. Put them together, you don't even have half a face.
No, I'm sure it's a lot.
It is 4,500 alone for Mickey.
Holy buckets.
And 7,000 if you include the scrolls on the side as well.
Dang.
Can I just say that Laura in our chat said it was over 4,000 for the flowers.
Over 4,000,
so
yep.
Someone understands how big a plant is. So good. Good job, Laura.
Yeah, good job, Laura.
Apparently, you need to spend some more time in a garden.
I don't pay attention to the flowers when we're there. I'm looking at the train. I'm looking at the turnstiles.
I'm looking at Mickey as a whole. I'm just enjoying the entire thing.
All right. And our last question, courtesy of the Disney Play app. What is the name of the futuristic sound system Space Mountain features?
Oh, gosh. what was our made-up answer?
So, Tank went with stereo something and... Teresa said the intergalactic stereo.
I believe I said spatio.
Spatio.
Oh, spatio. Sorry.
Spatio.
It's stereophonic.
Ooh. You're
stereophonic.
Close with your spatio.
Stereophonic.
Yeah. So interesting stuff. Fun. Space Mountain has all this technological marvels.
Well, thank you very much to Barb B and Katie J.
And Eric J.
And Eric J. for submitting these really good questions, because you stumped us, and you stumped us good. So thank you.
Yeah, be like them. Send me an email. It's trivia@dlweekly.net, and you can hear your name and question on air.
And hopefully it'll stump us if that's what you want. Or you can take pity on us and give us an easier question.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Disneyland proudly presents our spectacular festival pageant of nighttime magic and imagination in thousands of sparkling lights and electro-synthomagnetic musical sounds. The Main Street Electrical Parade! Thank you.
Thank you.
Disneyland's Main Street Electrical Parade.